I'm glad to be here today. Thank you for the invitation, Dr. Curiello. It's a blessing always to be back here. God has been so good to us. I think Marilyn is online listening in. Honey, I love you. Wish you were here. And I'll try not to embarrass you by saying things about you. But do pray for her. She's not well at all. She's got diabetes plus heart issues would not get any better. Doctor said it'd probably get worse. So remember her in prayer. And me, I think when I was here the last time, I also was a Canaanite. Bought my cane. I fell 3 times last week, not this week. Once on the ice. And so I'm a little sore, my body's a little tender, but I'm okay. Glad to be here. Good to see you all. And thank you so much for, I hear we're going to have a good meal. Amen. Praise the Lord. I look for a good meal. I get him at home too, honey. I was just kidding. Although she doesn't cook much anymore. She does sometimes, but not feeling well. I do a lot of the cooking. I go to McDonald's. I go to Chick-fil-A. I go to, any different places. Bring home food to her so we could eat. We'll be married 63 years. Coming up in October, so that's a long ways away, but thankful for the 62 years the Lord has given us together. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians. I'm going to do something maybe a little different than I normally do. I'm going to start the message this morning, and I may finish it tonight. I want to deal here, what is the church? What is the church? You're here in a church building, but what is the church? There are 6 chapters in the book of Ephesians. That's why it's going to probably take me to the end of the evening. I want to get some thoughts from each chapter about what the church is. A church is the supernatural body of believers of which Christ is the head. That's chapter 1. That's what we're going to deal with right now. And then from there we'll go, the church is a sacred building in which God inhabits. Now, I got news for you today. These walls is not the building. This walls is not the building we're talking about. Now, I'm glad we got a building. I'm glad we're meeting inside. But I remember one of the churches we started out in California while I was still in college, the Assistant League building. We had it on Sunday morning, but we had to go in and clean up, get rid of all the beer bottles and everything. You see, we made it into a habitation for God because we were there. These are just a building. And it's going to go one day. If you were in California, no doubt some churches were burnt down, but the church will go on. And I say amen to that. A supernatural body of believers, of which Christ is the head, chapter 1. I want you to we're just going to pull certain thoughts from each chapter. Look with me at verse 21 and 22 and 23. And had put all things under his feet and given him to be the head over all things to what? To the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That's a great verse, 2 verses. The church is the body. It is just more than a building. It's a body of believers coming together. But I do use the word supernatural. Now, why is the church supernatural? Why is it talked of in my message today of being supernatural? Well, let me give you 3 thoughts on that in this chapter. Look there in verse 1 of the chapter 1 and verse 1, and Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the what? Now, there is one reason. Do you realize today A supernatural is found in the word saint. Have you thought about that? Are you a saint this morning? Now, I didn't say you always act like it. Let me tell you what a saint is. Let me take each letter of that word saint and tell you what a saint is. Because I remember when my mother lived not a good life, a wicked life, but in her last years, her third husband, she decided to get religious and join the Catholic Church. And I remember when I was home, she said, well, you know, we have saints in our church. I said, we have several of them in our church. And I said, Mom, I know you don't have a hard time. You raised me. All did it all by herself. But I'm a saint. I didn't act like a saint all the time. She could remember me when I was not saved, the things I did. But I am a saint. Now, what does that word saint mean? Well, S, it means I'm saved. That's what a saint is. I know that the Catholics make so much out of making saints, but you are made a saint in Christ. A saint is a person who was saved. A, he's alive. He's alive. You know, I hope not, but you may be a corpse today. You may be here and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're dead in trespasses and sin, and you need the life of God in you. Somebody asked me how I know that I'm saved. I said, because I was there when it happened. I remember that time when Jesus Christ came into my life and gave me life. You're not only saved, but you're alive in Christ. And then that little letter I, you're in Christ. Now, that's an important word. That's the biggest little word in the Bible. You know that? The biggest little word in the Bible, the word I-N. If you take the time and study it, you'll find in chapter 1, 27 times he'll use that little preposition in, referring to our relationship. We're not only saved, we're not only alive, but we're in Christ. It's mentioned 27 times. How many books are there in the New Testament? Anybody know? 27. It's the same number as the word in, so you have to remember it that way. And then in, it's a new creation in Christ. But a man being Christ, he's what? He's a new creation. Old things pass away. That was very difficult for my family to understand that I was a new creature in Christ. Every Christmas, everybody got drunk. Every New Year's, another party. Everybody did things that were wrong, and then I got saved. There was a change because I was a new creature. You're a new creature when you get saved, aren't you? Old things pass away, old things become new. You have a new interest, a new desires. And I will forget when I got saved, when I was called into the ministry. Mama had a hard time with that one. You're going to be what? I said, well, I'm going to serve the Lord full time, Mom. I went out to California and studied for the ministry. And my wife and I, and we spent 6 years getting all that because we had children, and it was a difficult time for us. Had our first son. What is a saint? He's saved. He's in Christ. He's a new creature. In Christ. Saved, alive, in Christ, new creature, and he's a testimony of the grace of God. When you get saved, your life changes. You're different. I remember Jim Hyatt. You don't know who he is, but I just gotten saved. And we would go out and do things that were wrong. He came by my house and he said, "What are we going to do tonight?" I said, "I'm going to church." He said, "You what?" He said, "I have a new life. My life is different. And you are, you have a testimony of the grace of God." The grace of God. Isn't God's grace wonderful? I thank God for it. So we realize it's supernatural because we're changed. We become saints. I remember Joshua, when you got saved, your life has changed.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah for that. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Your life changes. I remember when I smoked. Now, I'm here to tell you, if you have a problem with smoking, I can understand that. I was there. But I felt my body was a temple of the Holy Ghost, and I don't need to do that anymore. But it took me a while to get over it. And I had to deal with it. But for me, it was just, I had to deal with it. There are other things. By the way, there's worse things than smoking. Amen? How many agree with that one? Say amen.
Amen.
Sure is. Worse things. So, a supernatural body of believers of which Christ is the head, a supernatural found in the word saint, and supernatural found in the fact that we are seated together in heavenly places. Go down there to chapter 1 again. Look there in verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all," what? "Spiritual blessings in heavenly places," or in the heavenlies. And you know, according to the word of God, we are in the next chapter, we are seated with him in the heavenlies. Now, my blessings are from up above. Your blessings are from up above. They're from the heavenlies. I had somebody say to me one time, "You, some of you Christians are so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good." I found the opposite. Far too many of God's people are so earthly minded, there are no heavenly good. We ought to thank the Lord for the place of the blessings of God. All the blessings we have down here are temporary. But hallelujah, that's supernatural. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't know have any heavenly blessings. You're not a saint. Think with me also, it's supernatural that you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Another thought here. Again, we're only lifting certain thoughts out. Go over there to the same chapter and look with me at verse 13. "In whom ye also trusted, that after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Now, I want to say this dogmatically. If you're saved, you can never get lost.
Right.
Never. 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 Never get lost. Isn't that wonderful? Now, I'll tell you this. If you're not right with the Lord, you can feel like you're lost. The world gets a hold of you. You got to be careful with that world. It's not a good world we live in. So, a supernatural body of believers where Christ is the head, found in that word saint, found in the fact we're seated with him in the heavenly places, found the fact that we're sealed by the Holy Ghost to promise. Look at verse 14. "Who is the earnest of our inheritance?" Now you've heard, if you buy something, you got to put what kind of money down? Earnest money. But this word in the Greek today, in the modern Greek, I understand, I'm told that it would also refer to an engagement ring. You're engaged. You know I'm engaged today, although I'm married. I'm engaged to Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is my wedding ring. I went to the wedding here for the pastor and his wonderful wife. It was a blessing. Down through the years, I performed many weddings. It's interesting. Some of the times that I've enjoyed the weddings, And I kind of get, my wife has talked to me about that. You've gotten carried away with the wedding. What I'll do is the groom, and I don't even know why the groom ever shows up. Maybe he could just show up at the end. Because no, he's getting no attention. Zero. It's all on her. It's all on her. And I'll say to a young couple on the wedding rehearsal the night before, I'll say, wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord comes tonight? Now, I got news for you. Not one of them ever said, I'd like for him to come tonight. Now, maybe a year from now after the wedding, they say, even so, come Lord Jesus. But right now, they're looking forward to the marital bonds and marriage. But let me tell you something. When our Lord comes back, it's going to be totally different. You know, when the Lord returns, guess what? He gets all the attention. We're the bride. He's the groom. And people won't stand for the bride. They stand for the groom. Isn't that going to be, hey, fellas, that's going to be a new revelation. Good experience. And so it's a supernatural body of believers. This is a supernatural body of believers because you're saved, you're seated in heavenly places, and because you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. There can be all kinds of clubs, different, but they aren't got what we have here tonight. Remember what you got here today. You are supernatural because of what God has done for you. It's not only a supernatural body of believers, but now I go to chapter 2. It's a sacred building in which God is inhabits. Look me at chapter 2. And look with me, if you're down to verse 20. Jump ahead to verse 20. I guess I better go to verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with who? With the saints and of the what? Household. That's a household is a building, people. Household of God. Verse 20, and are built upon the foundations. Now notice here, don't look, read this wrong. Of the apostles and prophets, it doesn't say prophets and apostles. In the Old Testament, you had prophets, amen? But the church is founded on a different dispensation, a different time. And it started with what? Apostles. But thank God for the prophets as well. And Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Thank God he's the chief around here. In whom all the building, now I didn't say this building here is not the church. It's a meeting place for the building to come together in. Framed together, growing into a what? Holy temple in the Lord. We're a holy temple. Isn't that wonderful? It's where God lives. He lives in the temple. In whom ye are builded together. Notice that together. For a habitation of God. Think with me for that. I rejoice in that. A dedicated building. Now notice if you go back to our text here to chapter 1 and look there. Look at verse 19. Or chapter 2, I mean. So it is a sacred building. Now notice the word therefore. Underline the word therefore. You ever ask why the word therefore is therefore? What's the word therefore? Why has God put that word? Now therefore, because of things of he's dealt with already. Now why? Look up there, the first chapter, 2. And he's going to say, and you have he quickened that were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past we have been delivered from the past. Now let me say, I don't want to ever think too much about, I'm always bothered when a preacher preaches too much on what he was before he got saved. It's almost, young people say, well, he did it and he got saved, I guess I can do it. No, no. No, don't think that way. Just be glad you're saved and live for him and thank the Lord for that. Look there with me. In times past, we have been delivered from the past. We are now different in the presence. Thank the Lord we're different today in the prayer. You get saved, you're different. Look there in verse 4. But God, which is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in trespasses, has quickened us together and raised us together. Notice the word together. Together there, quickened. Isn't that wonderful? You see, we're a sacred building. Now we are to be dedicated. Now, I know you dedicate buildings. I'm sure this building was dedicated way back. Anybody here when this building was dedicated? I don't know. But I do know this. This church, which is the building, need to dedicate themselves, if you haven't done it already, to the things of God. God wants to do great things in this church. Amen? He really does. So it's a supernatural body of believers in which Christ is the head. It's a sacred building which God inhabited. I remember years ago when I pastored my second church. I love the church. Beryl and I spent 53 years in the ministry, pastoring, 53 years. 40 of those years were senior pastor. The last 13 years, we've done interims, helping churches that needed pastors. 53 years. Probably not as long as you. Probably not. But he's older than me. Not really. I'm older than him. But I got saved later in life. But think with me here. Dedicated that building. We're his building. Think with me also to a supernatural body of believers, a sacred building which he inhabits. What's a church? It's a spiritual brotherhood of which we need each other. That's chapter 3. We need each other. Hey, you need me. You need each other. Do not think for a moment that you don't. That brotherhood is found in him. Look at verse 6, chapter 3. Now we're in the third chapter. A spiritual brotherhood in which we need each other. Look there, if you will, please, in verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Underline that word fellow heirs. And then go down to verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship. It's a fellowship. It's amazing how many people don't need the fellowship of the church. Now, pastoring all those years, I've always been bothered by people, particularly after COVID-19, COVID, whatever it was. People begin to listen online when they could have gone to church. If you're listening online today and you were able to come to church, shame on you. You need to be where God's people are because you need to fellowship. Now, my wife can't come. And I feel bad about that. On Wednesday nights, I feel I need to stay with her. Sunday nights, I go because it's lighter and I can get back home for her. But we need each other. I know that the Curalos drive a long distance to get here. Others may drive a long distance to get here, you know, because you need each other. The brotherhood is found in Him. I don't know if you saw the funeral for Jimmy Carter or the inauguration of President Trump. How many did anybody here see any of those? Let me just share with you, to me, it was one of the saddest things I've ever watched. Why? Because there were people, former presidents, that wouldn't even talk to each other. President Obama came down the aisle without his wife because she didn't like Trump. And Vice President Pence, his wife didn't show up. At Jimmy Carter's funeral, Kamala Harris wouldn't even, she only looked at Trump with a glare. Now that's because they're not saved. At least they're acting like they're not saved. I'm not here to be that judge, but the church needs to be different. But let me tell you something. Some of you know that in 1988 or 89 and 90, we went through such a thing in our church. We had folks, very wealthy folks, sue us because we had the church discipline them. It's a hard time for us. But we had people taking sides, not speaking to each other. The air was so thick with animosity, with judgment, that it affected the spirit of the church. And if you're here this morning and you have someone that you feel that way towards, you better get that right, because you're going to affect this church. Because you see, it's found in Him. Aren't you glad He forgave you? Aren't you glad that God doesn't hold anything against you? Amen. That ought to make you Baptist-costical just with the thought of it. That He doesn't hold things against you. Rejoice in that and be thankful for that. It's a brotherhood that's found in Him. But they don't know the Lord. I thought of those presidents, vice presidents, each one coming down the aisle, not speaking, not talking. And I hear all kinds of criticism about our president. When Biden was president, I prayed for him. I still pray he'll get saved. And we need to pray for our president of the United States and our vice president. Somebody say amen or oh my. Amen. Pray for him. But that's brotherhood is not only found in Him, but notice verse, go over to chapter 3 only for a moment, or chapter 4 for a moment. We'll go back chapter 3 in a moment, but look at verse 30, 31, and 32. Because this brotherhood is found in humility. Humility. Even as we look at chapter 3, before we get to that text, we realize here the humility that we find here. I'm looking for that word in chapter 3, and I thought I circled it, but God knows my heart is there somewhere. But go to chapter 4. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Our Holy Spirit was so grieved at our church when we went through that. You could cut the atmosphere with a knife. He says some things here. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Don't hurt the Holy Spirit. If we come to church to honor the God we love, why are we going to hurt the Holy Spirit? Why are we going to do that? He He says, not only don't grieve the Holy Spirit, but he says, get rid of grudges. That's verse 31. Get rid of those grudges. Look, I'm not going to deal with those. Time won't allow. But get rid of the grudges you may hold. I watch people walk into a church, walk right by somebody, won't even say hi to them. And now I'm supposed to get up and preach with that? No, it's hard. Your pastor would have a hard time if he knew that somebody did that. Humble yourself. Aren't you glad God forgave you? If you hold grudges, you're in trouble. Not only are you to see that, hear the, notice if you will, please, not only are we not to grieve the Holy Spirit, need to get rid of grudges, but also we grace your life with forgiveness spirit. I've already said it. Aren't you glad God? Listen, somebody said to me, because I lived in California for 26 years, they said, you know, those people are getting the judgment of God. I don't know that. But I think about the things that I have done, even after I got saved, even the thoughts I've had that are wrong as a saved person. I'm thankful he forgave me. I'm thankful that I'm not under his judgment. Now, I may, if I sin, I'm going to be under his chastisement. And I've been there a few times. God's taken me to the woodshed of spirituality to get me straight for his glory and for his purpose. So we see here the brotherhood. Come to that brotherhood in humility. Think with me also, the brotherhood was not only found in humility and only found in him, but it is found through the Holy Spirit. Look with me. This is, to me, is one of the most precious portions of Scripture in the third chapter. Look there in verse 13 to the end of that chapter, because here he's talking about the brotherhood. Look there in verse 13. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is in your glory. For this cause I bow my knee into the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole, what? Family in heaven and earth are named. And I read those two verses, I see the need of, somebody said, well, we're an independent Baptist church. You also are an interdependent Baptist church. You're dependent upon one another. Interdependency. That's what you find here in verse 13 and 14, an interdependence. I've already said it, we need each other. And I'm thankful that we need each other. And I'm thankful for the truth of that. And thankful if we look here at the next, look as we move down, I see interdependence of whole, the whole family in heaven and earth his name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened in might by the Spirit in the inner man. I not only see interdependence, but I see inner strength. Do you realize that grudges can zap your strength? I mean, it can literally do a number on you. That's the way God sometimes, I think, punishes. I think he chastises. He said, okay, you're going to hold these grudges? Fine, I'll just, you'll pay the price. So we see here, not only interdependence, we have inner strength. And if our strength has failed, I think for me, John Stevens, what happens to him to say, now, who am I holding something against? Who do I need to go and make things right with? And then he talks about an infinite fullness. Look over there as you move down here in verse 19. Say, I can't deal with everything. I'm just giving some thoughts. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. I want to ask you a question. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, that's a good question, isn't it? If you're holding grudges, you're not. If you're angry, you're not. It's someone. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the fullness of God? It means to be so full of God, there's no room for the flesh. There's no room for failure in your life. Amen? Because you're so filled with Him. I'm going to pick up the next three tonight because I want to deal with those next chapters. But let me say as we close here, what is the body? What is the church? It's a supernatural body. I want to ask you a question. Are you a member of the local church? You need to be. I get a kick out of people say, well, I belong to the universal church or the invisible church. It's normally invisible in your life because you're not there. Of the 110 times you find the word church in the Bible, 90 of them refer to a local church. And you need to be part of a local church. And I know this preacher believes in the local church. And I thank God for that. So, what prevents you from being part of a local church? If you're here today and you're not, and this is a good one to join, amen? It's a great one. You need to be part of the church. That's God's program for you. That's God's plan for you. But if you are a member of the church, or you're at least a Christian, there's things right between you and God, or is there things in your life that you need to take care of? How many besides John Stevens has ever held a grudge against somebody? I have. And it's a terrible bondage. I'd say to get it taken care of. Find an altar today. Start there. Say, Lord, I'm not filled with the fullness of God. And this is your church. And I can't be the blessing for this church until I get my life right with you. And then if you need to come and want to kneel at the altar and get some things right, do it. But I'm praying today, God will, when we got through that experience at our church at Northside, we lost 70 people, by the way, because people said, I don't want to be involved in a lawsuit. I didn't want one either. But guess what happened afterwards? The church mushroomed. You know what mushroomed? People got right with one another. People asked forgiveness. People did what was needed to be done. And our church, we added in 1 year over 100 new members. God brought them in, not John Stevens. But God did it all. Father, this is just from my heart today. I don't know a lot about this church, but I just know I've pastored it and thankful for it. Rejoice in the pastor you've given it. Do a work in our hearts this morning, we pray in our Savior's name. Amen.